Well, I like to think that this will be project with you. I think we'll be project thinking it goes right when I think it goes 252. So hopefully I failed enough on the 251.
Yeah.
No, but
And then we did Shot Caller.
welcome back to Failure. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks for supporting us. This is the place, as you know, where, as they say, success has many fathers and failure has none. Well, failure has a father now, and it's here. And we're very lucky to have an incredibly, incredibly talented gentleman who has become a friend, I'm lucky to say, but who is a comedian extraordinaire, an actor extraordinaire, who has transcended, I'll call it, kind of three walks of entertainment, and pushing into being a movie star very soon, us together, hopefully. Mr. King Botch
There he is.
himself, no, King Bachelor. How about we say Andrew? No, just kidding. I'm not allowed to call him Andrew. I'm not allowed to call him Batch. Yep. I actually will cut all that out. So, very lucky though to have someone who has built just a career in one of the hardest fields.
Thanks for having me. This is
Really,
dope.
really appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's been cool getting to know you. And we've been working on some projects together over the last couple of years, and they're coming to fruition. And it's been really exciting to kind of work with you and see how committed you are to really to your career, but to the life that you've created. It's something that a lot of people don't realize takes how much work that takes.
Yeah, and I know this is about failure, but our projects, we can't fail on those. I
Well,
think the projects that we do, we can't fail. All the failure happened before, so now we can succeed.
I like to think that this will be project with you. I think we'll be project thinking it goes right when I think it goes 252. So hopefully I failed enough on the 251.
Yeah.
No,
And
but
then we did Shot Caller.
oh yeah,
That's
so
relativity, yeah.
yeah, so there you
Yeah.
go.
Ugh,
There you go.
and that was successful, right?
We made a lot of money.
There we go.
But no, here's the fun thing about failure for us, and when we say failure. Like the word failure means a lot of things to a lot of people, and it's something that on this show we've actually debated a lot. Like we had Nigel on the show who created American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance, and he hates the word failure. He was like for the show, like you can't call it failure because you can't fail as long as you're still trying, and as long as you're still alive. And he's not wrong, but the idea is, and what we're trying to show the world, and you're a big part of this. You understand it is. The kids today, when I say the kids, I'm in my late 40s, so a lot of people are kids now. It makes you feel freaking old. But I even see, I see my 8-year-old scrolling on YouTube, like everything's so immediate. And so like, oh, look how easy it is. Like, you just do this little thing and I all of a sudden I'm getting, a Lamborghini and a mansion and the hottest girl or guy and money. And people kind of feel like if I don't have that, I'm not doing something right, i.e. failing. And it really is what led for me to do the show, which was that I realized there wasn't a lot of people out there wanting to talk about the fact that if you succeeded and you've really succeeded in any facet of life, in your case, obviously starting with social media, going into comedy, going into acting, you failed and you failed a lot. And that by failing, it means what you tried didn't work. You had a goal, you set it, you didn't hit that goal. You fell down, you got back up. And that's the most important thing is you fell down and got back up. And it goes to this saying that we have of Churchill man in the, well, we said, what you said, Churchill's saying of man in the arena, which the short condensed version of the quote, which is what I live my life by, is that it's better to be in that arena, being the man that's covered in dust and blood and marred and sweat and tears and to err and failed and come up short and time again, than to never have felt defeat nor success. And so that's the point of this show, is to talk about those moments of failure and what we've learned and how those are the moments that defined us. So I'm gonna just start out by asking you, like, in your life, you know, obviously you've had a ton of success and generally that's what's talked about. What do you remember as like your first big failure in life? Like the biggest one you can remember earliest on?
Well, I want to start off by saying there's a certain amount of people who actually, I believe you have to fail in order to succeed, right? Like if I do something and I nail it off the jump, I'm actually mad because I believe in beginner's luck. And I believe like, damn, I don't know what I did right that made that work. You know what I mean? So that's my way of thinking about things. And I like to challenge my brain by doing things that I'm not supposed to be able to do. I taught myself how to play the piano. I teach myself how to, I love to learn things. And the only way you can do that is by challenging yourself. You have to fail in order to succeed. So I would say, and also to say on that is the younger you are, the more you hate failing because you don't understand it. You want to be great. You don't like that feeling of losing. The older you get, the more you accept it. Oh, this is reality. You have to fail to succeed. You have to, it's not failing, you're learning. You're learning what to do. So I think my earliest failures when I knew what I wanted to do was I wanted to be an actor when I was maybe like 12 years old. I was like, I want to be an actor. Yeah.
You knew at 12.
Yeah. Didn't see anything until I was 23. So I've been trying since I was 12, right? And I'll even go, like I was trying to get into my school plays. I couldn't even get into my school play at all.
Wow.
Nothing.
Wow.
And every year I stuck with it. I didn't make the school play. I got like a cameo in something at the school like singing thing. You know. And then I remember moving from middle school to in eighth grade, there was a guy named, oh, he might see this, Marco Chan. I don't know where he at.
Marco, if you're out there.
Marco Chan, it was me and him. We were gonna be actors, right? Every year, eighth grade, actor. Ninth grade, actor, 10th grade. He didn't want to be an actor anymore. He changed. Like that's how it happens. There's all these people who have these dreams and these visions and it falls off. They give up. You can't give up. You have to go through that failure. You have to learn. Every year is a learning thing. So I would say my first failure was when I was trying my hardest to get into that school play and I couldn't get in.
So what's really crazy about that, like I'm big into science and physics. I talk a lot on the show about physics just because it's like been my hobby my whole life. And relativity, which was obviously the name of one of my prior companies, which is obviously a scientific, you know, kind of concept that's constructed really everything we know of today. Mm-hmm. If you think of the relative nature of what you said, when you were 12 is when you saw your first failure, but it continued until you were 21, you said?
23.
So that means that you spent, by the time you were 23, 50% of your life failing.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Damn, if you put it like that, I guess I am a failure.
But like, those are the things that like, you know, and I think we were just talking about this before the show, like when we had on Chris Johnson, who was talking about the best players in the NBA, mm-hmm. the guys who make over $5 million a year, the highest shooters, make 30% or less of their shots, right? That means they fail 70% of the time.
Yeah.
So I like to put it in perspective for people because when you really like think about that, mm-hmm. right? So you got right to the heart of it. You're like 12 years old. This is what I knew I wanted to do with my life. And mm-hmm. clearly, looking where you are today, mm-hmm. you did it. Like more than did it. Like you've arrived. Like you know now it's just about how big. Mm-hmm. But you then went on and spent. Exactly the amount of years you were alive, from 12 to 24, another 12 years failing at what you knew you wanted to do before you finally made it and not giving up. And that's the whole point is like, you know, you felt defeat, you felt falling down, you felt mm-hmm. the, as we said, the blood and sweat and tears and, mm-hmm. you know, just that feeling of like, but you got back up, you were the man in the arena, right?
Right.
So what would you say if you had to give like, and this, a lot of this is to try and help people because everybody feels that, right? Mm-hmm. And people don't realize everybody's failing. People don't realize everybody's hurting. People don't realize, like, we're all just the same. Like, everybody next to us, as we had Rabbi Leader on the show, you know, who was just saying, like, everybody's in pain and you don't realize that. To help those people who are, like, going through their own form of failure right now, or that 12-year-old or 14-year-old who, whether it's acting or football or whatever they want to do, that they're not succeeding at, and they're about to give up. Like, what was it inside of you that you can really remember or think about that if you had to tell someone, was that driving force?
For me, and it, everyone's different, you have to find what that is. If you're spiritual, maybe you believe in that, and maybe it's like God, this is God's purpose for you. Manifestation, you know, I kind of believe in both in a way, you know. It's, I told myself, like, I believe that intuition and feeling is actually your future self letting you know, like, this is what you're going to be. So when I was 12 years old, I had no idea what, like, I wanted to be an actor. It's just a feeling I had. And maybe that's my present self sending these signals back to my younger self, like, yo, this is the life that you want to do. This is what's going to make you happy. You're not going to be happy doing a 9-to-5 job. So there was something in me that just said, no matter how much I fail, I'm going to keep on working, keep on doing it. So I think you have to find what that is, what your purpose is. And if you find what you actually think is your purpose, you're going to fight no matter what you have to do. You'll have nights where you're cold, where you have nowhere to sleep. You're like, this is my purpose. I'm going to fight for it. And you got to figure it out. Like, if one thing doesn't work, cool. Scratch that off. Find another thing. Keep going. You told me the story about the light bulb. He found, what was it,
9,991 ways not to make a light bulb.
Yeah.
Edison.
Yeah. And then he found the way that worked. So it's like, if you're going to give up, you don't. Like, just keep on fight. Find something within you. Find something to fight for, whether it be your family. Some people, they turn another gear when they have children. Then it's like, oh, shit, I got to fight for my kids. So now I'm going to definitely make it to work. I have a friend. We do stand-up together. And a lot of nights, he's not coming on. And I'm doing stand-up almost every night, right? Just grinding and working the craft to get my special, my hour special this year. And I have one of my friends. He wasn't as focused. As soon as he had his baby and the bill started to come up, he's like, oh, shit, I need to get on the road so I can make more money. So it's like there's some people, they need something to happen to turn on that light bulb. So, yeah.
And you in that 12-year span, do you remember any one particular point where you just, like, hit? You were just going, oh, man, this is like where you almost gave up and something in you, like, stopped it?
Yeah.
So, like, what was that?
100%. You have, my parents didn't think it was possible because I lived in Florida, right? And I have no connections to the industry. So my parents were always like, you don't know Will Smith. That's what they said. They said,
you don't know
Will
Smith. How are you
going to make it? You don't know Will Smith. That's what they told me.
That's the best thought I ever heard. You're not going to make it out. You don't know Will Smith.
That's what they said. You're not gonna, you don't know Will Smith, because we used to watch Fresh Prince all the time.
Yeah, that's got to be the best line ever.
Yeah, right? So we didn't have money to move myself out to California. You know, it was all of that. So you have that fighting against you. Then you have the kids in school. We're like, you want to be a movie star? And back then, not back then, but in Florida, it's like, if you want to be an actor, that's not a real job.
Yeah, people.
What are you talking about? You want to be an actor? No, you want to be a doctor. You want to be a lawyer. You want to be an engineer. You know, that's what you want to be. So when I would tell kids in school that I wanted to be an actor, they was like, oh, look at this fairy. That's what they would call me. They would call me a fairy.
I believe it.
So, and it's Florida. So they ruthless.
Yeah, they don't care.
they don't care.
I got it. My parents live there. I know.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to, it got to a point where I had my dreams and I had to keep it to myself. Because the moment that I would speak it out, people were trying to dismiss it. So it became a point where I knew what my goal was, and I had to keep it in my head and just go through the path. I had to get through middle school, get through high school, get through college. When I got to college, that's when I started to enroll myself in the different programs. So I would do this thing called 30 and 60, where we perform 30 skits in 60 minutes.
Wow.
Based off of crowd suggestions. So I was doing that, and this is my purpose. And these are extracurricular activities. I'm doing school, I'm on the track team, and I'm taking my time because I know what my dream and I know what my purpose is to enroll myself in these programs. So I did 30 and 60, 30 skits in 60 minutes. I did another group called Black Actors Guild, where all the people who are African American who wanted to partake in acting, yeah. We would perform dramatic sketches around campus. So I'm doing all these things. I found out the film program. I found who the directors were in the film program. I was like, hey, can I do a cameo in your short film? I'm hustling because I knew what my dream was. So yeah, it was a lot.